Chapter 211. Then I wondered whether I should have got off the train because it had just stopped at London, and I was scared because if the train went anywhere else, it would be somewhere where I didn't know anybody. And then somebody went to the toilet, and then they came out again, but they didn't see me, and I could smell their poo, and it was different from the smell of the poo that I smelt in the toilet when I went in there. And then I closed my eyes, and I did some more maths puzzles, so I didn't think about where I was going. And then the train stopped again, and I thought about getting off the shelf and going to get my bag and get off the train, but I didn't want to be found by the policeman and be taken to father, so I stayed on the shelf and didn't move, and no one saw me this time. And then I remembered that there was a map on the wall of one of the classrooms at school, and it was a map of England and Scotland and Wales, and it showed you where all the towns were, and I pictured it in my head with Swindon and London on it. And I'd been looking at my watch since the train had started at 12:59 p.m, and the first stop had been at 1:16 p.m, which was 17 minutes later, and it was now 1:39 p.m, which was 23 minutes after the stop, which meant that we'd be at the sea if the train didn't go in a big curve. But I didn't know if it went in a big curve. And then there were another four stops, and four people came and took bags away from the shelves, and two people put bags on the shelves, but no one moved the big suitcase that was in front of me, and only one person saw me, and they said, "You are fucking weird, mate," and that was a man in a suit. And six people went to the toilet, but they didn't do poos that I could smell, which was good. And then the train stopped, and a lady with a yellow waterproof coat came and took the big suitcase away, and she said, "Have you touched this?" And I said, "Yes." And then she went away. And then a man stood next to the shelf, and he said, "Come and look at this, Barry. They've got, like, a train elf." And another man came and stood next to him and said, "Well, we have both been drinking." And the first man said, "Perhaps we should feed him some nuts." And the second man said, "You're the one who's bloody nuts." And the first one said, "Come on, shift it, you daft cunt. I need more beers before I sober up." And then they went away. And then the train was really quiet, and it didn't move again, and I couldn't hear anyone. So I decided to get off the shelf and go and get my bag and see if the policeman was still sitting in his seat. So I got off the shelf and I looked through the door, but the policeman wasn't there. And my bag had gone as well, which had Toby's food in it and my maths books and my clean pants and vest and shirt and the orange juice and the milk and the clementines and the custard creams and the baked beans. And then I heard the sound of feet, and I turned round, and it was another policeman, not the one who was on the train before, and I could see him through the door in the next carriage, and he was looking under the seats. And I decided that I didn't like policemen so much anymore, so I got off the train. And when I saw how big the room was that the train was in, and I heard how noisy and echoey it was, I had to kneel down on the ground for a bit because I thought I was going to fall over. And when I was kneeling on the ground, I worked out which way to walk, and I decided to walk in the direction the train was going when it came into the station, because if this was the last stop, that was the direction London was in. So I stood up, and I imagined that there was a big red line on the ground which ran parallel to the train to the gate at the far end, and I walked along it, and I said, "Left, right, left, right," again, like before. And when I got to the gate, a man said to me, "I think someone's looking for you, sonny." And I said, "Who's looking for me?" Because I thought it might be Mother, and the policeman in Swindon had phoned her up with the phone number I told him. But he said, "A policeman." And I said, "I know." And he said, "Oh, right." And then he said, "You wait here then, and I'll go and tell them." And he walked back down the side of the train. So I carried on walking, and I could still feel the feeling like a balloon inside my chest, and it hurt, and I covered my ears with my hands, and I went and stood against the wall of a little shop which said, "Hotel and Theatre Reservations, Tell 0207-402-5164, in the middle of the big room, Then I took my hands away from my ears and I groaned to block out the noise. And I looked round the big room at all the signs to see if this was London. And the signs said, Sweet Pastries, Heathrow Airport Check-in Here, Bagel Factory, Eat, Excellence and Taste, YD, Sushi, Station Link. But after a few seconds, they all got jumbled together because there were too many and my brain wasn't working properly and this frightened me. So I closed my eyes again and I counted slowly to 50, but without doing the cubes. And I stood there and I opened my Swiss Army knife in my pocket to make me feel safe, and I held onto it tight. And then I made my hand into a little tube with my fingers, and I opened my eyes, and I looked through the tube so that I was only looking at one sign at a time. And after a long time, I saw a sign that said Information, and it was above a window on a little shop. And a man came up to me, and he was wearing a blue jacket and blue trousers, and he had brown shoes, and he was carrying a book in his hand, and he said, You look lost. So I took out my Swiss Army knife. And he said, Whoa, 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 whoa. And he held up both his hands with his fingers stretched out in a fan, like he wanted me to stretch my fingers out in a fan and touch his fingers because he wanted to say he loved me. But he did it with both hands, not one like father and mother, and I didn't know who he was. And then he walked away backwards. So I went to the shop that said Information, and I could feel my heart beating very hard, and I could hear a noise like the sea in my ears. And when I got to the window, I said, Is this London? But there was no one behind the window. And then someone sat behind the window, and she was a lady, and she was black, and she had long fingernails which were painted pink. And I said, Is this London? And she said, Sure is, honey. And I said, Is this London? And she said, Indeed it is. And I said, How do I get to 451C Chapter Road, London, NW25NG? And she said, Where's that? And I said, It's 451C Chapter Road, London, NW25NG. And sometimes you can write it 451C Chapter Road, Willesden, London, NW25NG. And the lady said to me, Take the tube to Willesden Junction, honey, or Willesden Green. Got to be near there somewhere. And I said, What sort of tube? And she said, Are you for real? And I didn't say anything. And she said, Over there. See that big staircase with the escalators? See the sign says Underground? Take the Bakerloo line to Willesden Junction, or the Jubilee to Willesden Green. You okay, honey? And I looked where she was pointing, and there was a big staircase going down into the ground, and there was a big sign over the top of it that said Underground. And I thought, I can do this, because I was doing really well, and I was in London, and I would find my mother. And I had to think to myself, the people are like cows in a field, and I just had to look in front of me all the time, and make a red line along the floor in the picture of the big room in my head and follow it. And I walked across the big room to the escalators. And I kept hold of my Swiss Army knife in my pocket, and I held onto Toby in my other pocket to make sure he didn't escape. And the escalators was a staircase, but it was moving. And people stepped onto it, and it carried them down and up. And it made me laugh because I hadn't been on one before, and it was like something in a science fiction film about the future. But I didn't want to use it, so I went down the stairs instead. And then I was in a smaller room underground, and there were lots of people, and there were pillars which had blue lights in the ground around the bottom of them, and I liked these, but I didn't like the people. So I saw a photo booth, like the one I went into on 25th March 1994 to have my passport photo done. And I went into the photo booth because it was like a cupboard and it felt safer and I could look out through the curtain. And I did detecting by watching. And I saw that people were putting tickets into grey gates and walking through. And some of the people were buying tickets at big black machines on the wall. And I watched 47 people do this and I memorised what to do. Then I imagined a red line on the floor and I walked over to the wall where there was a poster which was a list of places to go, and it was alphabetical. And I saw Willesden Green and it said £2.20. And then I went to one of the machines and there was a little screen which said press ticket type. And I pressed the button that most people had pressed, which was adult single, and £2.20. And the screen said insert £2.20. And I put 3 £1 coins into the slot, and there was a clinking noise, and the screen said, take ticket and change. And there was a ticket in a little hole at the bottom of the machine, and a 50p coin and a 20p coin and a 10p coin. And I put the coins in my pocket, and I went up to one of the grey gates, and I put my ticket into the slot, and it sucked it in, and it came out on the other side of the gate. And someone said, get a move on. And I made the noise like a dog barking, and I walked forward. And the gate opened this time, and I took my ticket like other people did, and I liked the grey gate, because that was like something in a science fiction film about the future too. And then I had to work out which way to go. So I stood against a wall so people didn't touch me, and there was a sign for Bakerloo Line and District and Circle Line, but not one for Jubilee Line, like the lady had said. So I made a plan, and it was to go to Willesden Junction on the Bakerloo Line. And there was another sign for the Bakerloo Line. And I read all the words, and I found Willesden Junction. So I followed the arrow, and I went through the left-hand tunnel. And there was a fence down the middle of the tunnel, and the people were walking straight ahead on the left and coming the other way on the right, like on a road. So I walked along the left, and the tunnel curved left. And then there were more gates, and a sign that said Bakerloo Line, and it pointed down an escalator. So I had to go down the escalators, and I had to hold on to the rubber rail. But that moved too, so I didn't fall over. And people were standing close to me, and I wanted to hit them to make them go away. But I didn't hit them because of the caution. And then I was at the bottom of the escalators, and I had to jump off, and I tripped and bumped into someone, and they said, easy. And there were two ways to go. And one said northbound, and I went that way because Willesden was on the top half of the map, and the top is always north on maps. And then I was in another train station, but it was tiny, and it was in a tunnel, and there was only one track, and the walls were curved, and they were covered in big adverts, and they said, way out, and London's Transport Museum, and take time out to regret your career choice, and Jamaica, and British Rail, and no smoking, and be moved, and be moved, and be moved, and for stations beyond Queen's Park, take the first train and change at Queen's Park if necessary, and Hammersmith and City Line, and you're closer than my family ever gets. And there were lots of people standing in the little station, and it was underground, so there weren't any windows, and I didn't like that, so I found a seat which was a bench, and I sat at the end of the bench. And then lots of people started coming into the little station. And someone sat down on the other end of the bench. And it was a lady who had a black briefcase and purple shoes and a brooch shaped like a parrot. And the people kept coming into the little station so that it was even more crowded than the big station. And then I couldn't see the walls anymore. And the back of someone's jacket touched my knee. And I felt sick. And I started groaning really loudly. And the lady on the bench stood up. And no one else sat down. And I felt like I felt when I had the flu, and I had to stay in bed all day, and all of me hurt, and I couldn't walk or eat or go to sleep or do maths. And then there was a sound like people fighting with swords, and I could feel a strong wind, and a roaring started, and I closed my eyes, and the roaring got louder. And I groaned really loudly, but I couldn't block it out of my ears, and I thought the little station was going to collapse, or there was a big fire somewhere, and I was going to die. And then the roaring turned into a clattering and a squealing, and it got slowly quieter, and then it stopped, and I kept my eyes closed because I felt safer not seeing what was happening. And then I could hear people moving again because it was quieter, and I opened my eyes. I couldn't see anything at first because there were too many people. And then I saw that they were getting onto a train that wasn't there before. And it was the train which was the roaring. And there was sweat running down my face from under my hair. And I was moaning, not groaning, but different, like a dog when it's hurt its paw. And I heard the sound but I didn't realise it was me at first. And then the train doors closed, and the train started moving, and it roared again, but not as loud this time, and five carriages went past, and it went into the tunnel at the end of the little station, and it was quiet again, and the people were all walking into the tunnels that went out of the little station. And I was shaking, and I wanted to be back at home, and then I realised I couldn't be at home, because Father was there, and he told a lie, and he killed Wellington, which meant that it wasn't my home anymore. My home was 451C Chapter Road, London, NW25NG, and it scared me, having a wrong thought, like I wish I was back at home again, because it meant my mind wasn't working properly. And then more people came into the little station, and it became fuller. And then the roaring began again, and I closed my eyes and I sweated and felt sick, and I felt the feeling like a balloon inside my chest, and it was so big I found it hard to breathe. And then the people went away on the train, and the little station was empty again. And then it filled up with people, and another train came with the same roaring. And it was exactly like having flu that time, because I wanted it to stop, like you can just pull the plug of a computer out of the wall if it crashes, because I wanted to go to sleep so that I wouldn't have to think, because the only thing I could think was how much it hurt, because there was no room for anything else in my head. But I couldn't go to sleep, and I just had to sit there, and there was nothing to do except to wait and to hurt.
This ends Disc 4.